A4.
Number 18B.
Could you see this Christ translation and how important it is to see its ordered development and to look at it from both sides, from the divine absolute standpoint, because that's our treatment, but also to know the signs, the symptoms that can be produced by that Christ impact, by the Christ impulsion, so that we can interpret those symptoms aright. Else, we resist the Christ. If we don't know these symptoms, then we feel we are not going to make the demonstration. God doesn't work for me. And from our life practice, we know only too well that so many students of Christian Science then feel that they are no good, that they don't understand this science, that they can't demonstrate this science, that science never worked for them, that they have never got a blessing from God, when they would have got the biggest blessing if they would have been able to recognize the signs of the times. They would have seen that the best may have gone on, but because they couldn't see through the situation, they were misinterpreting it, and therefore were either leaving Christian Science or were trying very hard to resist unconsciously the Christ working and making the situation tougher and tighter and therefore more difficult. Yeah. Now, in this connection, we can have a closer look at this Christ translation in the way that Mrs. Eddy showed it in those translations of the divine mind and the scientific translation of mortal mind. These two translations has very often been a bit a puzzle to the student of Christian Science because they didn't quite understand the interrelationship between those two translations. And because they are printed one after the other, they have made false conclusions. Actually, if we would, say, symbolize it rightly, we actually should put those two translations next to each other because they go on simultaneously. And this is one of the main points one has to see, that these two translations are not two, but they are one. That in the measure as the first translation, I say first translation when I mean the scientific translation of immortal mind, and I say second translation when I mean the scientific translation of mortal mind, so that actually one should see that they are not two translations, but that they are only one translation. It's like a coin with two sides, but it's still one coin. Let's see what John in the Gospel said about this. He said, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." See, with this verse, he depicts really the two translations. That verse has, so to say, three parts, which we have to keep in mind. The first part is that no man has ascended up to heaven. That would be the second translation. No man has come up to heaven. The upward trend, you can see, is the second translation with the 3 degrees. The first degree of depravity. A second degree of, you have it here, evil beliefs disappearing. And the third degree, understanding, which is spiritual, and which has to do with reality. So the second translation gives us three stages of how really man ascends to heaven from depravity over the transitional qualities up to reality. But we must see that when we read grammar, that grammar does not follow the divine order. That when we read grammar, grammar has another order than spiritual order. And we have to transpose grammar in order to see spiritual order. Because here in John, the sentence begins actually with the second stage, not with the first stage. It says, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he who..." See, came down from heaven. So the first phase he actually depicts is he who comes down from heaven. So the first phase is he who comes down from heaven. That's the first translation, from principle to the point of idea, can alone ascend up to heaven. The second translation, from the first degree over the second degree to the third degree. Even, now comes the third phase, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, which does neither go down nor up, but which stays right there, which is what it is. So you can see actually that what John already began to see, that man cannot improve itself, he's always at the point of perfection, nor can he lose and come down to earth, nor lose his perfection, but that man as such is always in heaven. And in order to demonstrate that, he would show that man must come down from heaven if mortals want at all to be saved and ascend up to heaven. And that's those two translations. Mrs. Eddy says, we go out from perfection, and that's the only starting point. And if we go out from perfection, we must see that the Christ idea must take away every belief in imperfection, or we have not an understanding of perfection. So in order to take away the belief of imperfection, the Christ has to translate itself through the first translation to the point of understanding, which we have at the end here as idea, the immediate object of understanding, must translate itself to the point of understanding in order to what? In order that that understanding is dissolving the belief of the first degree, is dissolving that belief of the first degree by showing forth that in the measure as the first degree dissolves, the second degree comes more and more into focus, until finally the first degree is abolished so much that there is not even a second degree, but that there is only the third degree of understanding of the spiritual, which is reality, with those seven great qualities depicting the word order. And so it says at the end of that, it says, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears and man in God's image appears, the man that has always been in heaven. Can you see the interrelationship of what John was teaching and what Mrs. Eddy was teaching with those two translations? That teaching which says you start out from God and see that from the divine principle come only infinite ideas, to the point of knowing of the omniscience of that idea. And in the measure as that principle translates itself to the point of understanding, misunderstanding disappears, and that means that depravity is handled, that better qualities, the moral qualities of the second degree, are brought out more and more, until finally only that which is ideational, of the nature of idea, namely the third degree, is demonstrated or manifested. Then in the third degree, mortal mind disappears and man in God's image appears. Or let's take another passage from John just to see that these ideas have already been in the Bible, which Mrs. Eddy tried then to point out in a methodical way. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. First translation. Father has come down and given to Jesus all things into his hands. And that he was come from God, first translation, and went to God, second translation. Is that clear enough? That everything starts from God and coming down to earth and lifting the earth up to heaven, and not the other way around. The other way around is the usual theological way. The theological way is that it says, now you are a sinner, now you creep and crawl up to God, and in the measure as you crawl up to God, he will be very dear to you and will bless you, and you will get the blessing of God. The Christ translation is just the other way around. It says, all right, it's all right that you use the word order. In order to establish in yourself what God is, that's okay. And when you have done that, then the Christ translation begins to work. Then God is translating itself to human consciousness, doing what? Touching depravity, acting as the overturning and overturning and overturning of depravity, so that more and more the moral and the human qualities are brought out in the human, but not for that purpose, only as a transitional stage. That second stage is a transitional qualities, only as a transitional stage, because the aim of the idea of the Christ is to establish the spiritual idea, the third degree, the spiritual, where all traits of mortal mind are resolved. Another passage from John said, I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father. You can see again the first translation. And I'm come into the world. I'm come to the first degree, to depravity. Again, I leave the world, depravity, and leave it, the second degree, and go to the Father, third degree. I quickly give you those three quotations from the Bible. I quoted from the Bible John 3:13, John 13:3, and John 16:28. Just in case you want to look it up again and ponder them, because they seem to be such key verses to show the translation as we have it today. Mrs. Eddy speaks about translation also in this way, which is very easy to keep in mind and is a great key tone. You see, every time if we have for a great category some key tones on which we can rely, on which we can orientate ourselves, it is a great help for pondering, even if one doesn't have the books on at hand. She says, and that is in Miscellaneous Writings 22:10, Christian Science translates mind, capital M, God, to mortals. That's the first translation. I come back to that one and just give you the second one on the page Miscellaneous 25:12, and where she says, science understood translates matter into mind, capital M. Can you see those two translations? The first translation is that Christian Science translates mind, God, to mortals, right down to understanding, to depravity, and says, what does it do to the mortal? What does it do to depravity? What does it do to mortal mind? What does it do to the flesh? And so the second translation is indicated and said, if science is understood, if we understand the first translation, what happens? It translates matter, first degree, into mind. In the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man in the image and likeness of God appears. So within that article of cause and effect, she just shows those two big direction of translation. The first translation is actually a translation, a true translation. It translates something which is true and right, like the divine principle, into the point of something else which is true and right, namely to the point of idea, whereas the second translation is a retranslation from a false translation, because it retranslates something which is wrong into something which is right. In other words, what is depravity? Is depravity, that first degree, something per se? Is it an identity per se? Does it exist per se? See, the whole teaching of Christian Science is no. What appears as mortal mind is nothing else but the false translation from the divine mind. If I translate the divine mind wrongly, then I have mortal mind. If I translate spirit wrongly, I have matter. If I translate soul wrongly, I have sense testimony. You see, we have seen right at the beginning of this class that every error is a counterfeit of a truth, Or in other words, that all that seems to be a counterfeit is the seven synonymous terms misunderstood. Therefore, misinterpreted, mistranslated. This is important to see because in practical experience, usually we start out with something wrong. We experience something that is wrong, either a sickness or an accident or lack or disappointment or frustration and etc., etc. We experience something wrong. And if we would understand these two translations, we would know that this is not a cause, but that this erroneous situation is an effect, not an effect of a wrong cause, that it is an effect of a wrong translation from the seven synonymous terms. Every evil effect has not a real evil cause. Every evil effect is the effect of a wrong cause, and a wrong cause is a mistranslation of a right cause. Yeah? So that one sees whatever evil seems to be, it's never an entity. It's never something per se. It appears to us as original evil, as original error. But actually it's only because we did not entertain the seven synonymous term in our consciousness, in our understanding, and because we didn't entertain the seven synonymous term in our understanding, then in our understanding, instead of seeing ideas, we see illusions, error. So every error is actually a mistranslation from the synonymous terms, which means what? Which means that the second translation is a re-translation. We correct through a right translation from God to idea. We correct the first wrong translation and thereby retranslate the wrong translation into a right translation. That's all that happens. Did I go too quickly? Oh, the last one was too quick. All right, here we go again. You see, all what I want to show is there is no original evil. Whatever evil or error or sin tries to say it is, it's never original. It does not exist per se, or we would have a dualistic universe. We would have to go out from dualism as reality. But we know that there is only one principle and its infinite idea, therefore there is no dualism. So we can ask ourselves, and we did that at the beginning of the course, we can ask ourselves now, what is then this evil, this error? And we see that it is a mistranslation of the first translation. When the first translation is not understood, because the first translation goes right from principle to the point of understanding, if we do not consciously entertain the first translation, and if that first translation is not constantly awake and aware within our consciousness, then we mistranslate reality in consciousness, and all what we have is evil error. That's clear up to this point. So, what can we do in order to free ourselves from that error is to go back to the origin of it, namely to the mistranslation, and therefore entertain in consciousness the right translation. That has to be corrected. The first mistranslation has to be corrected by making the right translation from principle to idea. And if we do that, then naturally we retranslate the second, that's the second translation, we retranslate state of depravity right back to the point of the third degree of understanding. And so again, you can see that the pivotal point, that right pivotal point, that the pivotal point of both translation is actually understanding. Both translation end with understanding. So that everything we can see depends on just one thing, understanding. That's the coin. And that coin can have two sides seen from the human. A right translation and a wrong translation. We can understand or we can misunderstand. So error has actually its cause in truth when truth is mistranslated. Let me see if I have a quotation here Perhaps that I could take... No, but I thought I had it. Oh, yes, here. Just what I said. You see, that what Mrs. Eddy wanted in one of her last years, teach Dickie, his secretary. She wanted to teach him that there are not two entities, spirit and matter, but that there is only one entity, namely spirit. All right, I stop here so that we can do that quietly.